one of our local Gideons, Robert Froman, who represents the Gideon South Camp here in our county. And I know Jerry Canerva is part of the North Camp, even though he lives in the South. I don't know if it's a blue-gray type thing going on or what, but we've had historically several individuals who served with Gideons in our church. Niall Fassett down the front here many years, still I think still part of the Gideons. And am I missing anybody? Oh, John and Lauren, yeah, John and Lorna Bowes, who are they're up representing the Gideons up in the UP this week. They're on their way home today, so that's why they're not here. And if any of you men are interested, you and your wives interested in being part of the Gideons, if you would let me know, I would love to submit your name as a recommendation for the Gideons. So without taking any more of your time, Bob, welcome to our pulpit today.
Hi, my name's Robert Froman, and I'm a Gideon. I got a few laughs, but nobody's really surprised. Oh, that's right. You guys are a great Gideon supporting church, aren't you? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm here today to represent the Gideons, and I know you've probably heard many times that Gideons are professional and businessmen that put Bibles in the highways of life so that men and women, boys and girls, might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I'd like to show you this morning just what makes a Gideon tick. To do that, I would like you to listen to Brian Cole give his testimony.
It all started for me. I'm 48 years old. 38 years ago, started a lifetime of just darkness and just a satanic dark life. At the age of 10, I was introduced into Satanism, into drugs and alcohol. One of my initiations at the age of 10, I had a cross tattooed on the bottom of my left foot so I could trample God whenever I walked. Eventually, not only did I get involved with other aspects of the occult, but just Christian hating was a religion to me. I mean, I desecrated so many churches, so many cemeteries, nativity scenes at Christmas time, you name it. I just hated Christians. And you guys, in your Bibles, you were one of my worst enemies. I spent 27 years of my life in prison. And the amount of Bibles in prison is just unbelievable. And I had quite the job. I was a janitor in most of the prisons I worked in. And when people go to bed and I clean up, my job was trashing all the Bibles and other literature. So I just wanted you to know how much I hated Christians. Throughout them years, on top of being involved with the occult, you know, the addictions come with it, whether it was drug addictions, pornography, cutting, self-mutilation. I was into everything I could. I didn't believe I belonged in this world. I hated life. I hated people. I used people. I manipulated them. It's the only thing that they were good for is to get what I wanted out of life. The time that I served, everything from petty drug charges to attempted murder, this guy on my neck, I got tattooed here, Eric, I killed him through the use of methamphetamines. So if you don't think that the drugs kill others, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. Well, after this dark satanic life and attempting to take my life on several occasions through the use of drugs, in 2009 that all changed. I was arrested for the last time. I was addicted for 2 years to methamphetamines, and you know, my body took its toll. I was 180 some pounds when I came out of prison in 2006. By 2009, I was 135 pounds, skeletal, still losing teeth to this day. Selling tons of marijuana to pay for my addictions. I got locked up, got arrested for running a drug house, and that was the day they saved my life. I went to the Chippewa County Jail, and one of your members, Cliff Walterstorff, he works at the Good News Jail Prison Ministry there. You know, it was... enough had happened in my life. I was 43 years old, I think, at the time when this happened. And after looking back at my life, I had just gotten married six months prior to this arrest, and I finally woke up one day and was like, I think I have a problem. And I blamed it on the drugs. You know, I didn't look at it. It was my belief system, the occult, my belief system that gave me permission to do all the things that I did. But it was enough to open up the door to admit that something was wrong with me for the Lord to start working in me. I wanted to do things on my own like I always did. And I tried. But that thought alone was enough for the Lord to start working. And I seen they had an intense drug and alcohol program there at the jail. Unfortunately, it was a faith-based drug and alcohol program. I really didn't want to get involved with that. But, you know, I was pushed to do it. I really wanted to do something for myself in life. And I went. And I let them guys know I went. You know, I'm here to better myself. I don't want to hear none of this Jesus stuff. And Chaplain Cliff Walter starts like, well, if you're going to be in here, you're going to hear what I got to say. I'm like, all right, Chad, but you guys don't talk to me. Man, long story short, I had to have a Bible to do my homework. Oh. Really? So I managed to get the library one day by myself, and I found one of those small little pocket testaments. I stashed it down my pants, went back to my room, put it under my pillow when no one's looking, and when they locked down at night, I'd pull that out and I'd fill in the blanks in my homework. And, you know, I went from filling in the blanks to the Lord filling me with life. You know, I came across a verse. Seemingly, you know, it's like it didn't have nothing to do with nothing, but it was Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And that blew me away because that was word for word part of the cleansing rituals that we performed in the occult. What is this doing here? That's how God caught my attention. So that's when I started reading the Bible and coming across other things. And it was at that time that God started slamming things and putting people and putting books and everything I needed in place when I needed it. You know, as soon as I started having questions about the authenticity of Scripture, because, you know, I thought it was just another mythology book like all the other ones that I studied, boom, here comes The Case of Christ by Lee Strobel. Read it. It often tasted the Bible for me, and then I was mad because I'm like, man, I'm a pretty intellectual person. You tell me for 40-some years I've been lied to and deceived? Here comes a faith-based anger class. Dealt with it. After I dealt with my anger, all the shame of my past started coming at me. Everybody I had anything to do with in life was destroyed. I attempted to kill people. I destroyed my family, anybody I was involved with. Bang, faith-based shame class. And it just happened one after another. And finally, one day, the only thing that was holding me back was the understanding of, I understand forgiveness for all the things people have done to me and all the things I've done to people, but how can God forgive me for the things I personally did and said against Him? And I brought that up to the chaplain one day, and he's like, what? And I said, what I just said, how can He forgive me for the things I said and did against Him? He said, what? I mean, chap, don't play with me. And he says, that's what the Lord is saying to you, Brian. As far as the east is from the west, He doesn't just forgive you, man, He forgets it. Man, all my life I want a chance to go back to the age of 5 and keep all the wisdom and knowledge I have now and just start all over again. You know what? Jesus Christ gave me that chance. He said, I'm going to make a new man out of you. I'm going to give you a new heart. And He can do that for each and every person. That Bible is a living word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the truth is Jesus Christ, and He set me free. And now to this day, you know, not even 2 years after I'm out of prison, I've only been out of prison for 3 years and 1 month, and already I'm in a position to glorify God and share God with others and minister to a church and minister to youth and hopefully tell these kids, man, this is what's going to happen to you. If you don't trust in the Lord, they might not get this bad, but it can. But it doesn't matter to the Lord whether it was as bad as I am or just someone falling back. It's the unbelief. It's having a life without Him. People say your testimony, I don't have nothing like it. Oh, In the Lord's eyes, it's all the same. We're all fallen creatures. We all need Him regardless of what we're involved with. And the one thing I've learned since I've been out of prison is to use everything that the Lord brings into my life for His glory. It was hard for me to, you know, dress up. This isn't me. And one of the things I like to talk about as far as being obedient to God is understanding that everything that we have in our life, God gives us. God gives me. God gave me a truck. God gave me my family back. God restored all my relationships. God gave me a motorcycle. And you know what I did? Like everything else in life, I used that motorcycle for Him because it's His. So whether I'm speaking to the bikers at all these Daytona events and letting them know there is another way, man. There's a way where you don't have to do all this stuff and you could be happy. I thought Christians were the most boring people in the world. Man, I've had so much fun in the last 3 years. It's unbelievable. So I just want to thank each and every one of you guys for everything that you do. And not just the Gideon Bibles, man, but the life books. This has been such a blessing to me and my youth. We do a lot of motorcycle stuff and parades and stuff. My deal, I don't hand out candy, man. I got a backpack full of life books, and I hand these out to the kids. When they see and they ain't getting candy, they're kind of. But they get them. But they get them. Thank you for the life books. Thank you for life. Thank you for everything you do. I preach all the time in my church about going out because it's you people that save my life. It's the people who go out and not just sit on their dead butt in churches who save lives. So thank you for doing what you do and going out and saving lives.
Well, if you weren't able to shout amen or have a huge smile on your face, you're probably not Gideon material. I'm sorry. But if you wanted to wave a hand, if you wanted to shout amen, or just smile from the depths of your soul, then you know what it feels like to be a Gideon. Gideons are men that like to see the lost saved. Yeah, we place Bibles like this in hotel rooms. You know, that really can be a lot of fun. But what makes it special is when you're about ready to go into a room and a young man comes briskly out of his room looking for a Bible. That happened to John Bowes and I here, right here at Red Roof Inn here in Kalamazoo. We were on a distribution, a young man fresh out of the Army, didn't know where his next job was, and he was hopeless. He wanted a Bible. There wasn't one in his room. John and I were able to share with him, give him his own copy of Scripture, and also place a Bible back into that room. We had the opportunity to help a lost young man. We also give out testaments like this. And we give these out to young people, boys and girls. I was over here on 9th Street at Ashtemo Days not too long ago, and I was with a fellow Gideon named Fred. I was watching these boys out playing, three of them. One of them had some long, dark brown hair, black T-shirt on, big skull on the front of his T-shirt. But he was intent at looking at our table. So I asked him, I said, "You want a Bible?" He comes over the table and he asked me a whole bunch of questions. And after I got done answering all his questions, boom, he took off, gone. I turn over, I look at Fred, and I said, "Man, that was strange." We're sitting there, and next thing I know, here's this same little boy out there. And he's standing out away, and he's just looking at the table. And finally he comes over, and he says, "How much does that Bible cost?" And I says, "It's free." He says, "It's free?" He grabbed that New Testament. He was gone. That was it. He was gone. All I saw was heels. Fred and I both looked at each other, and we knew at that moment we'd been part of a God thing. We prayed for that young man. We prayed that the Holy Spirit would convince him of God's love, and he would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We also give out testaments just like this by the thousands right here at Western Michigan University. You know, we often don't know what's going to happen with one of these testaments. We give out a lot of them. But on occasion when you give out something like this, something special happens. I was at Western just this past fall, and I was at a bus stop. And the bus stops, and everybody's getting off the bus, and this Oriental girl comes off the bus. And I ask her, would you like a New Testament? She says, yes. And then she looks at me, and she says, do you know where I can go to church? And I ask her, I said, well, are you Chinese? She says, yeah. And I had just done a church presentation at the Chinese Christian Church over on Parkview, right around the corner here. So not only did I know where the church was, I knew the pastor and some of the people in the church. And I was able to share that with her. Some might say, well, that's just a coincidence. A Gideon will say that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to shout amen now and then? Or have your heart swell with joy of knowing that a lost person has found hope and joy in Christ? Then if you're a professional or a businessman, you can join me and be a Gideon. If you can't join, you know, you can become what we have now called Friends of the Gideons. You can join as a prayer partner. You can join as a financial partner. And you can receive some special benefits by either one, and they're all explained in this pamphlet that I would more than love to give to you if you'd like one. I know that you probably are aware that a hotel Bible like this costs $5. It takes $5 to put a Bible just like this into a hotel right here in Kalamazoo. Or it takes $1.35 to place a testament like these in the hands of a young person or a college student right here in Kalamazoo or all around the world. And I know that you're aware that 100% of what you give to the Gideons goes to the purchase and placement of a scripture. I see you've already had a couple sermons by pastor on praying. Well, you know, you could add the Gideons to your prayer list. We'd love to have you ask the Holy Spirit that he would work through his word to reach those that are hopeless, to reach those that are lost with his love and grace. I also know that you have access to Gideon cards, which you can use to recognize a friend in any accomplishment that they might have in life, or just say, I'm thinking of you, and give a gift that will put a Bible in the hands of some lost soul. Well, are you getting an idea of what makes a Gideon tick? If you're still not quite sure, maybe Joplin Emerson can help you. Listen to his testimony.
When I was 16 years old, I was leaving the parking lot of my high school in Clearwater, Kansas, a small rural town of about 1,500 people. And as I was exiting, there stood a Gideon, and he handed me this exact copy of God's Word on my way out. As I drove away, I was probably that typical teenager that many of you have stood before and placed a Bible in hands at times and thought to yourself, he'll never read it, he'll never do anything with it. And the honest truth is, I had no intention whatsoever of ever reading it or ever doing anything with it. I was only 16, but my life had already begun to spiral out of control. I was deeply addicted to drugs. Drug use was a normal part of my activities. By the time I was a senior in high school, it's fair to say that as I stand before you and before the Lord, to the best of my recognition, I used drugs every day of high school, before school, during school, and after school. I remember overdosing my senior year at about 8:15 a.m. in the morning, waking up in the nurse's office with people hovering over me, thinking to myself, how did your life get so out of control? But even then, I didn't pick this up. Somehow I graduated and continued to do the very thing that was bringing me down. I was selling drugs in a larger capacity, using needles on a regular basis, drinking to blackout stage at night. And there came a time when I was 20 years old, laying in bed after a series of events that had just a horrible evening. And I remember laying there. It was early in the morning, and I couldn't go to sleep. And I thought to myself, maybe you ought to just kill yourself. I had lost all respect for myself. I had concluded what most of the world had concluded long ago, and that was that this world would be better without people like me. As I sat there and for the first time honestly contemplated killing myself, I cannot tell you why, but the thought occurred to me, what if hell is a real place? I had never been a believer. I had not believed in God. I had not believed in heaven or hell, but I thought, what if hell exists? And I knew if it did, this is where I was going to go. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prove that this isn't true. And 4 years after this was placed in my hands, I cannot tell you why I still had it. I cannot tell you how I kept it. But it was there. And I opened it up and I began to read. And I just started at the front because I didn't know where else to start. And I only got to page 16 in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 where it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I read that and I thought that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I fall into the category of everyone. And there are no stipulations on what you can ask. And though I had been in a lot of dangerous situations by this stage in my life, I had never prayed. And I knelt and prayed for the first time in my life. And I said, God, if you're even real, if you can even hear me, I'm giving you 30 days to show me yourself. Now, I knew the promise said that I had to seek and I had to knock. And so I tried to do everything that I thought you would do if you were seeking God, and I tried to quit doing bad things that supposedly sinners did, and I started going to church. I knew I couldn't claim I was seeking God and knocking if I wasn't going to church. The first 2 weeks, I didn't know where else to go but my hometown, and I went, and it was so cold. I was a convicted criminal by the time, and people in my town knew who I was. But I'll never forget the fact that I was truly seeking God and how rejected I felt at that time. And I decided I'd go somewhere where nobody knew me. And the third week, I went to a church and sat through service. And at the end of service, there was an old lady in her 70s. Her name was Nadine Ledbetter. And she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, son, is this the first time you've ever been here? And I said, yes, ma'am, it is. And she said, would you come back? She didn't say anything about my clothing. I had on what was indicative of gangster clothing, the baggiest jeans I could find, with letters running down the side, and a football shirt on, and my hair down to my shoulders, and a tongue ring in, and an earring in. She said nothing about any of it. She just said, would you come back? And I remember leaving and thinking, that was odd. Did she not see how I looked? But the first person to ever invite me to church was this 72-year-old lady. And I thought, I want to go back. So I went back the next week and I saw a man preach with passion I had never seen before. I could, for the first time in my life, I could tell without any question, this man believes this. You cannot preach with that passion if you don't believe it. And I wasn't ready to agree with him yet, but I was just moved by the fact I knew he believed this. And he walked by me when he was preaching, and the best way that I can describe what I saw in the twinkling of his eye was compassion and love and boldness and fire. And when I saw it, something moved in my soul, and I said to myself, I don't know what that man has, but I want it. And at that moment, it's the first time in my life I heard God speak. I had forgot that it had been nearly 4 weeks earlier when I told God that I wanted him to show himself to me in 30 days. I had forgot really why I was there. But at that moment when I said, whatever that man has, I want it, I heard God speak. And here's what he said. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And who seeks, he will find. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. And I knelt and I prayed, and I didn't know the sinner's prayer. All I could say was, I'm sorry. And I said it over and over and over again. And I got up from that altar, a changed, born-again man who has never looked back, delivered immediately of drugs and alcohol. Changed in a moment. Since that time, God's called us into the full-time ministry. I pastor a church. We've seen many, many people who could stand and testify to the same life-changing power of Christ that I've experienced in our church. This evening, I want to leave you with this. My life is a product of someone putting the written word of God in my hand, an older lady showing me the love of God and inviting me back to church, and a preacher preaching the word of God in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that you're in an eternal business. The ministry of the Gideons is a ministry about souls. Not just changing the world as we know it, and not just reaching the world for today, but changing time and eternity. I want to encourage you to never forget the power of God's Word to work all by itself. In a moment in my life when I had no Christian parents and no Christian uncles or aunts and no Christian cousins and no Christian grandparents and no Christian influence whatsoever in my life and nowhere to turn, thank God the son Gideon stood on a street and put this in my hand as I was driving by at 16 years old. The power of God's word and the power of God's love is enough to get the job done. It bridges all gaps and all ages. And tonight, on behalf of the multitudes who will never have the opportunity to stand before you as I have and tell you their stories, I say thank you. God bless you. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. You are making a difference. And it is people like me that make it what you're doing fruitful, beneficial, and this ministry must go on. Thank you and God bless.
Do you have a tear in your eye like I do? Are you like Nadine Ledbetter? Or do you know someone like her? Do you see the passion in Pastor Johnson? Can you rejoice over a lost soul being found? Then I'd ask you, join the Gideons. Give. Be a member. Make a difference. $5 a hotel Bible. At Gideon headquarters, there's a letter from Holiday Inn Express, and I wouldn't particularly call Holiday Inn a Christian organization. But there's a letter there that says, "Thank you, Gideons, from all our staff at every hotel we have, because we know and we understand that your Bibles in our hotel rooms save lives, and our staff do not have to clean up after someone that's taken their life." $5 makes a difference. Join us. Help us to help lost souls find hope and peace in Christ. Help the angels have a reason for rejoicing in heaven. Give a Gideon like myself a smile, a heart that beats fast with a knowledge that there's one more soul in heaven. I want to thank you, Pastor Johnson, for all your leadership and support of the Gideons. It really means a lot. And not just to the Gideons, but it means a lot to the lost in the community of Kalamazoo and around the world. It's truly been a pleasure to be here today, to stand in front of a congregation that really knows the value of one lost soul. Thank you for all you do, and may God continue to bless.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for bringing those video testimonies. Choke me up, too. Well, we're going to receive the offering now for the Gideons, so let me have a word of prayer. We'll ask God's blessing on this and upon the ministry of the Gideons as well. Father, we are thrilled every time we hear the stories of how you use your word in such unusual and powerful ways. We get discouraged so often when we read and see all of the negativity going on, all the attacks against Christianity, the attacks against your word, and it almost makes us feel a bit despairing at times and thinking that you're not doing a work anymore in America. But when we hear these testimonies and we know how the Holy Spirit can use just your word alone, it inspires us to keep at it, to keep going, and to know that every day there's a new soul being saved because someone placed a Bible somewhere and someone who needed it read it. So we're thrilled to be a part of this ministry and the ongoing support that we've been able to have in the partnership with the Gideons. We ask now as we receive this offering that it will be able to be used to purchase many Bibles. And only when we get to heaven will we know the result of what has come of what we have given today. So bless this offering now to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.